Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zydus Wellness Q2 FY24 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hey, hi everyone. It's a wonderful good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on the part of the world you're joining this conference call from. As always, it's our absolute pleasure to host the management of Zydus Wellness Limited to discuss the recent quarterly results. The company is represented today by Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Tarun Arora, CEO, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. Without much ado, over to the management for the opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manoj. Good afternoon and welcome to the post-results teleconference of Zydus Wellness Limited for quarter two, financial year 2023-24. Like Manoj mentioned, we have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO, with us. The FMCG segment witnessed a mixed quarter in terms of demand recovery. While urban segment continued to grow, the rural segment lagged recovery in demand due to rising food prices and uneven weather patterns across the country. The personal care segment registered a high double-digit growth, aided by growth in Nycil brand due to hot and humid weather in many parts of the country. The growth was further accentuated by strong traction of Everyuth brand. The company's Nutralite brand also saw a strong surge in volume demand. However, value-led growth was suppressed due to reduction in market-driven prices. In line with category, Complan brand has seen revival while continuing to increase penetration. In the sweetener segment, growth remained muted due to absence of sales of Sugarlite on account of continuing trademark litigation of the brand and sectoral headwinds. As a result, the company's food and nutrition segment witnessed a flat quarter in terms of growth. The company registered consolidated net sales growth of 2.6% on year-on-year basis. The company continues to recover the gross margin during the quarter, aided by moderating rates of key inputs and calibrated price increases taken earlier. As a result, the company has registered improvement in consolidated gross margins on net sales by 198 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Let me take you through the highlights of the consolidated financial performance of the quarter two financial year 2023-24. During the second quarter of financial year 2023-24, our net sales grew by 2.6% to 4,379 million rupees. EBITDA grew by 3.7% year-on-year to 168 million rupees. Reported profit before tax grew by 4.9% to 86 million rupees. Reported net profit was down by 30.6% year-on-year at 59 million rupees, mainly on account of deferred tax liability, which is a non-cash item. With that, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter, which will also cover the category growth and market share numbers as per MAT September 2023 report of Nielsen and IQVIA. We continued our thrust on marketing initiatives to grow the categories and increase market share of our brands during the quarter. To narrate a few, on the Glucon-D front, we continued to drive consumption of our new variants of sachet and mango flavor during the quarter through active digital engagement with consumers. The glucose powder category has grown by 1.2% at MAT level. Glucon-D brand continues to maintain its number one position with a market share of 60.0%. On the Complan front, the company has registered ahead of the category volume offtake growth. With continuous efforts and necessary interventions, we have witnessed growth in penetration by double digits. the health food drink category has registered a growth of 4.3% at MAT level. Complan market share stood at 4.4%. On sweeteners front, Sugar Free brand continued to show good offtake growth during the second quarter as well. We continue to air our new communication campaign with celebrity Katrina Kaif for driving Sugar Free Green. We also participated in several key PR initiatives like Dr. Mohan's International Diabetes Update 2023 and seeding vernacular KOL videos on digital platforms to strongly counter any negative perceptions and around non-nutritive sweeteners. The brand continues to maintain its market leadership with a market share of 96.1%. On the personal care front, Everyuth brand posted yet another quarter of strong growth. The face scrub category has registered a growth of 6.2% at MAT level. Everyuth scrub continues to maintain its leadership position with market share of 43.4%, which is an increase of 162 basis points over the same period last year. The peel-off category has registered a degrowth of 0.5% at MAT level. Everyuth peel-off has maintained its number one position with a market share of 78.9%, which is an increase of 75 basis points over the same period last year. The prickly heat powder category has degrown by 2.1% at MAT level. However, Nycil has registered double-digit growth and maintained its number one position with a market share of 35.2%, which is an increase of 19 basis points over the same period last year. On the dairy and spreads category front, Nutralite brand has registered double-digit volume growth for the quarter aided by institutional sales. The company hopes for a further recovery in demand due to upcoming festive seasons, and we are working towards maintaining its gross margin recovery. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A. Over to the coordinator for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just one question I had. So on Complan and your dairy business, in terms of price hike last 1-2 years, the entire industry and you must have taken price hike. There is a correction in the milk prices. So do you see your margins bottoming out once the inventory level, etc. corrects? And second related question on Complan is the market leader saw volume dip in Q2. So specific to Q2, how is your volume performance in Complan?
So with the milk prices stabilizing, I think we do hope that across the value chain, dairy-led value chain, we should see margins only improving. In terms of our volume, like I mentioned, Complan has seen a volume improvement in quarter two in specific.
But are you calling that out as a good structural improvement given your base, etc., I understand was a bit soft, and market leader is also taking a lot of activation, promotion, sampling, etc.? So how do you judge this from a two-year perspective? YOY, I understand.
So I think for me, the structural shift is because we are seeing a penetration going up, and that's a good sign because we are recruiting new consumers. And I look at over last 4 years, every year we've been improving our, widening our consumer base, and that I think is a good sign, which is really aiding the volume growth. Yes, you're right, there was a dip, but about a couple of years back, if I look at it, there was also a substantial volume increase during the COVID times. So over 3 to 4 years period, I think this is a very positive thing. We just have to focus on sustaining and building around it.
So thanks. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on if you can disintegrate growth for the quarter in terms of volume, value, and also if you can give some qualitative indication of which brands actually did better than the company average and which failed relatively poorly.
Hi Tejas, thanks for this. I think we've started giving a little bit of separate numbers to help you understand. So first of all, I think at a volume level, we've had a flat volume growth because some of the brands have had higher and some others. Just to look at it, I think food and nutrition, like we explained, is flat for the quarter, and personal care, both the brands have aided the double-digit growths. Within the food and nutrition, while we've seen Nutralite, because it's more reflective of the underlying oil and other ingredients impact, we've seen a high volume double-digit volume momentum, which at a price level, because we have to give corrections like any oil-based brands, therefore it pulls down the price realizations. So those are the major drivers of these volumes.
Got it. Sir, second question pertains to Sugarlite. You called out the litigation disrupting the business for a while. So just wanted to understand what percent of total turnover comes from that, which would have got impacted this quarter, and any visibility, I understand it's under litigation, any ballpark visibility that you can give in terms of by when do we expect to kind of see the back of this crisis?
So it's about 3-4% of our business in the lower quarters. For us, we don't have any specific visibility. We are just hoping for a quicker resolve, and we are engaging with the Supreme Court to clear the injunction that we have.
Sure. And so you spoke about after many quarters, we are seeing some tailwinds on gross margin side. So how are you reading coming second half and then beyond that in near term? How are you reading this tailwind panning out in terms of gross margin visibility, and where do you see this year we ending up on this number?
So I think we are clearly seeing the non-dairy portfolio leading the improvements in gross margins, which you've talked about. Now, dairy also stabilizing with a minor drop. I think we're hoping even that stabilizes, we are looking good to continue this improvement in margins. I can't give you a specific answer, but only should remain same or get better than this than we are on an improvement versus last year.
Got it. And so last one, if I may, last quarter we had some concerns pertaining to this WHO guidelines on aspartame. Now this quarter, you at least the presentation, it seems that we are not as much worried as we were last quarter. And even if I see aspartame prices that you have shared as a raw material, that has also not shown any weakness, and perhaps I'm overreading it, but I just wanted your insights on the same.
So we look at two levels, two or three levels. We are reading from the market through the social listening about the talk on aspartame and concerns, our own tracks. I think that huge amount of impact that was there in terms of conversations, that has actually died down, it's reduced. Even our track is picking up less. From an offtake perspective given by IQVIA, it's showing a positive movement. And that's really what we are hoping will build. In market, it still has to translate into a back to normal thing. It hasn't. So we are just hoping that it will slowly translate into positive regular numbers.
Got it. That's all from my side. And happy Diwali to the whole team there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. See you too.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Umang Shah from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, just if you can tell me what was the contribution of...
Can't hear you.
Mr. Umang, we cannot hear you. You're not audible.
Am I audible now?
Yes, yes. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to confirm what was the contribution of Sugarlite brand for the last 6 months.
So it's about closer to 4% in the weaker quarters. Annualized will be half of that.
Okay. And sir, this litigation is going on since 2020, right? The first filing. So do we see this resolved in this coming year, or will it be pushed to next year? Any idea?
We are hopeful of it getting sorted, but the litigation is not in our control.
Right. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Devang, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on EBITDA margin. Why are EBITDA margin are so low compared to the peer group and as an industry as a whole for the quarter?
So thanks for this question. I think if you look at it, we have a seasonality, and therefore the EBITDA margins need to be looked at in total, because we have a high seasonality, and therefore quarter four and quarter one tend to be significantly higher, and quarter two and three tend to be much lower because seasonality is impacted. So better to look at either a trailing 12 months or an annual full picture.
But even in the previous quarter, it was only 14-15%. Can you guide what is our aspirational level for the EBITDA margins?
So we had said that while we were at 17-18% due to huge inflation over the last 2-3 years, we've seen those dropping to closer to about annualized level of 15%. We expect over the next couple of years, we will claw back to a 17-18% level and then plan further steps to improve it.
Thank you, sir. And sir, next question is, revenue growth is significantly below inflation levels. And what would be the key triggers for the next few years and pathway to increase ROE over the next few years?
So there is a mixed impact. I think some of the brands have actually done significantly well. There is also the demand impact, which, like in my starting point, I mentioned that there is a certain demand which is impacted in the overall FMCG space also. We hope and expect that we should be back at double-digit growth in the coming quarters. The demand should get better by at least quarter four, and in fact, festive season also, most of us are hoping, should lead to a better demand, and by quarter four, should be back to better demand and better growth numbers.
Sir, any light for long-term picture, like 2 years, 3 years, not quarter-wise, Q4?
So from a medium-term perspective, we are committed, and we do believe we have a strong portfolio which can deliver continued double-digit growth on the back of growing our categories, expanding the consumer base, and also competitively, we are well-placed to win in that marketplace. So we do believe a good double-digit growth is what we should be looking at over 3-4 years.
And sir, any light on ROEs?
So, ROE, as you know, that because of the acquisition, ROE tends to be generally lower because of the inclusion of goodwill. But as we go forward, we have earlier given a guidance that we'll be touching ROE of 10% in 3 years' time.
Okay. And my last question is, as we are more of a wellness company than an FMCG company, is there any plan to expand into Ayurvedic space and build any brand around that or acquire any company in that space?
So business development is a constant part of our effort, whether it's internal innovations as well as acquisitions. We have reasonable capability around some of these things, but no specific plans to share at this moment. When we have something specific, we'll be able to share it.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclic Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question was regarding the similar to what previous participant has asked. Sir, our revenues have not grown above the inflation rate. Sir, if you could just explain the growth path when we'll go double digit and how we'll achieve this margin, revenue growth as well as margins, it would be very helpful.
So if you look at it, last financial year, we did grow at 12%. This year, I think, especially the first 4 or 5 months have been substantially impacted by one larger component has been our largest brand, which has a seasonality and due to very weather impact has had a challenge, mainly Glucon-D. And that actually has pulled down the overall growth, if I were to say. We do expect that things should be back to normal starting quarter four, and even now, as things, as festive season appears, starts, things should only start getting better from a growth point of view. Over next 2 to 3 years, as an earlier caller had asked, I think we do expect that back to a normal double-digit growth for us.
Okay, sir. Sir, we are guided on a buyback, so how has that been?
Can you repeat the question?
So regarding the buyback that we had discussed over the last quarter, so is there any momentum on that?
There is no discussion on buyback. Board will...
Any momentum on that? And just, sir, I wanted to understand, sir, with Complan in our portfolio right now, will there be a decline in seasonality going forward, or will this seasonality be continued for the next 2 to 3 years?
Seasonality is part of our portfolio mix, where two of our brands, Glucon-D and Nycil, have a substantial share in the summer seasonality. And that's part of the mix with Complan, Glucon-D, Nycil, all the brands being there in the portfolio. So I don't think structurally I see any change. While we are committed to build on non-seasonal brands, but I think the overall structural shift I don't see in over the next 2 years.
Okay, thank you for the knowledge.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Karan Bhuvania from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, I would like to ask about your international business. How has the performance been in international?
So if I were to look at... Can you repeat?
I'm sorry, sir. I just wanted to let Karan sir know that you are not audible enough, sir.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes, this is better.
Yes. Yeah. Firstly, I want to do get your views on your international business performance, how the performance is this quarter.
So if I look at first half of the year, we had double-digit growth on international business. It is slightly lower than our expectation because one of our major markets, Nigeria particularly, had a severe currency devaluation due to which some of our business had got stuck. I think with things getting now streamlined, it should only come back. All other markets continue to grow in good double digits. So overall, I think for first half, we are in double-digit zone. We can do much better as these are external factors which we'll have to deal with as we keep building this business organically.
Got it. Thank you. Secondly, sir, if I look at your ad spends, your ad spends has been flat in an absolute terms year on year, right? And if you look at most of the other FMCG companies, they have been increasing their ad spend significantly. Somewhere between 30 to 35% most of the FMCG companies. So will this under-investment in ad spends could impact our growth in the future, or how do you look at it?
So we are equally concerned about any advertising cuts. So I think over a 2 to 3 year period, if you look at it, I think we won't have been much lower in terms of spends direction. More importantly, I think we've also taken significant actions in terms of optimizing our investments in terms of our cost efficiencies around some of these things. Going forward, I think as the gross margins expand, we will continue to invest back on advertising as the biggest priority for us.
Thank you so much. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Tarun and team. Thanks for the opportunity. Looking at this slide on raw materials, slide six and seven, I think barring apart milk, RPO has come down as aspartame and stevia prices were also looking sequentially down. So just wanted to check if milk from here slides another 10-15%, is it safer to assume that second half of our gross margin will be significantly higher, say from 44.9, what we have reported in this quarter?
So we do believe we've seen a 200 basis points improvement or 198 basis points improvement over last year in quarter two. That's the kind of trend over last year we will see in FY2. More led by, of course, non-milk prices, but milk also being stabilized and slightly, I think we should be able to, that's our view as well. It should only get better.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, just wanted to check, I mean, just to continue, do you think second half our ad bill will be higher because right now the consumption and the discretionary is taking toll, but if there is a significant improvement, do you think the ad spend will inch up in next quarter and the EBITDA will reach towards 14-15% range?
So, I think our ad spends will be in line with what we've been doing last year. I don't think there's a disproportionate increase, but we will be looking at significant opportunities specifically in quarter four as the business gets larger and we can... with the better margins, we should be able to invest back more aggressively.
Okay. My last question on the Everyuth. I think over the last 5-6 quarters, we have done a lot of work in terms of penetration distribution. I think what is holding the growth, if you can, I mean, peel off, we are undisputed leader, so there is no question. But the other two segments, we have done revamp of packaging and other things. Distribution focus is also there, but what is it when we see the double-digit growth in that segment?
So we are seeing a double-digit growth. There's no reason. Actually, sometimes Nielsen, because of being smaller segments, doesn't do justice to what the brand is doing, and that's why we've given a personal care, which captures both Nycil and Everyuth, and Everyuth is a significant portion of quarter two numbers. So you can take from us that not just one quarter, but over several quarters, we are seeing consistent good double-digit growth.
One follow-up. Do you think we need to expand other segments of personal care, the Everyuth brand?
Absolutely. Absolutely with you on that. So I think scrub and peel-off have demonstrated what we can do with this brand and how the strength of this brand is. We are clearly evaluating two things to build on. One is body lotions, which will help us de-seasonalize. While face wash has also grown well for us, but more so in specific channels, we will be looking at more innovations, more work to expand the portfolio and see how can Everyuth be a much larger brand, given what we have seen in terms of traction in lead segments.
No, the reason why I'm asking, because now on e-commerce, our sales has already reached 10%. So, is Everyuth is under indexed in the alternate channels, for example, modern trade?
Not really, just 10%. So, overall, our business is about 20% between modern trade and e-commerce, 20-22%, and Everyuth specifically leads this in these channels. So it's not under leveraged. Actually, it has been always ahead of the rest of the. Business. It's actually the lower side is brands like Glucon-D Nycil, which have a larger rural presence and a wider, deeper presence because of more SEC, B and C. But Everyuth does very well on e-commerce. So okay. We are doing well across channels. So we have the sachets which reach out to lower pop strata and the larger packs which go for e-commerce and modern trade.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Wonderful. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Tarun. Just only one question, on the sales vector of growth, whether it in terms of numeric distribution or whether in terms of line selling. If you could just talk a bit about, let's say, how that has panned out in the last 2 to 3 years and how do you see the medium term?
So if I look at it over the last 2 to 3 years, we have done specific actions across our channels to expand GT in terms of direct distribution, which used to be about 3.5 lakhs about 3 years back. We've taken it to 6 lakh plus. On e-commerce, clearly went before COVID, which was 1%, which we started doing about 9%. Bond trade, which went through its own challenge, we have really expanded our portfolio. Food service, because Nutrite, we've taken a focus action. So across the portfolio, we realize that if we have to grow our brands and we being leaders, sales would be a critical element of driving this activity. The outcomes of each of these is where we've seen e-commerce playing a very good role in terms of both expanding our portfolio as well as our market share within this, though it doesn't get reported in Nielsen and therefore some of those actions get missed. Also, we have come up with specific packs in modern trade and e-commerce to drive this agenda, which I think is a requirement of this organized trade and which we are working on. From our food service also, we have seen our portfolio Nutrilite really helping us expand. I think GT has been, something which we think we have invested consistently. We have expanded our distribution. But the outcomes are less than satisfying, which is not just true for us, but I hear other FMCGs also talking of a similar thing, where the share of general trade has fallen. So we continue to drive our efforts because we feel access will continue to play a very critical role in category expansion, and therefore we stay focused on it. We are taking multiple actions now where we are saying one is, of course, to continue to increase our distribution, but also increase our pack efficiency, pack productivity, also more SKUs per outlets that we cover, so that we are able to get better value out of general trade. But that's a little bit more external factors which are driving it. So overall, I think satisfied with the effort, we can continue doing it. We used to be 1.8 million availability as reported by Nielsen at a combined business level when we acquired. Today it's more than 2.5. My wish list is we could cross a 3 million outlets stocking Zydus Wellness products. And that's really where we would want it to be in the next couple of years, maybe.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Tarun. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Devang Saraogi, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the question. As the promoter is on the call, I want to ask him whether they are interested in buying more shares from the open market, if they can comment on this.
So I think currently, I don't think we have any additional comment because the promoter family group decision is not made in this room. It's made separately where we are not involved as part of the decision. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Season greetings and happy Diwali. We'll see you after the next quarter.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.